Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Jesus is coming back for His bride. This event, sometimes called the rapture, is a certain future event, but no one knows when it will happen. Are you excited about this? More importantly, are you ready for Jesus to return? Please open your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 3. And listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his discussion of verses 10 through 18.
You cannot pay your way into heaven. One price was paid. One sacrifice for sin forever. Jesus Christ. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. If you're here today hoping that you go to purgatory, first of all, it doesn't exist. When you die, you go to one of two places, heaven or hell. That's the reality of it. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, how many of you know God keeps His promises? All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. We look for a new heavens and a new earth where indwell righteousness. Isaiah 65:17 says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind." Romans 8:21 and 22 says, "Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now." Do you realize that in this present creation, it groans and travails every time we hear of what we call disasters, mudslides, earthquakes, fires, whatever it is. Sin is so evil, sin is so wicked that it disrupted even God's creation. Creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. John writes in 21:1, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." There's going to be a time, beloved, when this present universe is going to be transformed into a place that is free from the curse of the fall. But that's not the way it is now, is it? It's not the way it is now. Because of the rebellion of Lucifer in Isaiah 14 and the rebellion and disobedience of Adam and Eve in the garden. By one man's disobedience in the garden, many were made sinners. By one man's obedience, Christ, many are made righteous. This present world system that we live is the home of sin and darkness. But there's a new world coming, beloved. You ready for it? Are you? Are you a wee bit excited thinking about it? Yeah. It'll be one of light, one of purity, one of holiness. We need to be looking for that. We need to be living for that. Alistair Begg said, "Creation's present stability and productivity are grounded in the Creator. We are not the product of some self-existing evolutionary surge, but of the direct act of a designer. We cannot make sense of our existence apart from God. We were never meant to." It's only through the Scriptures that we're able to make sense of the universe. In the beginning, God. There you have it. In the beginning, God. So once again, notice Peter, filled with passion, filled with concerns. He says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things," notice, "be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." The belief in the coming kingdom should create a ruthlessness in dealing with our sin. It should cause each one of us to live lives of peace with Jesus and one another in such a way that reveals to the world the reality of a risen, living Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in 1 John, "Those who love the Lord, His commandments are not grievous." They're blessings. The commandments of God are not a burden, they're a joy. You see, we've had a change of ownership, right? We've had a change. We didn't bring about the change. God did that work in you and in me. And now because of Christ and the overflow of His imputed righteousness, now we are before Him because of Christ without spot and blameless. Peter says, and account that the long-suffering, which speaks of the patience, the forbearance, the slowness in avenging wrongs of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things. What things? All of the things that he's written about thus far in his first and second letter, about the second coming of Christ, about the gospel of the grace of God, about the necessity of repentance and walking in holiness, about the false teachers and the scoffers that are going to infiltrate the truth. He says, Paul writes of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, pervert, twist, torture, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. You know the beautiful thing about the Word of God for a child of God? It's the only book whose author is present every time you open it up. The Spirit of the living God is the divine author of Scripture, the divine author of the truth. The Spirit of God is the one who opens our hearts, who gives us understanding. And Peter is writing something that needed to be said then and needs to be said today, because it's the bane of the existence of the church, and it will be until Christ returns again. Peter is saying in verse 16 that there are individuals that twist the scriptures to fit their private understanding, and in doing so, they are distorting its truth and misleading others. And the false teachers twisted and distorted some of Paul's letters to support their heresy. It was true then, and it's true now. The Bible says no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Peter warns about this. He warns about false teachers, false prophets who twist the Scriptures, who make it say what it doesn't say. They have their own glossary. They have their own dictionary. Jesus warned about false teachers and false prophets in the Olivet Discourse. But then Peter again says, you therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Beloved, if it were not possible for a person to fall from their own steadfast faith in Christ, then this verse is meaningless and as harmless as a toothless, roaring lion. Why is it that you and I as believers, whenever we read any warnings or any exhortation to watch or to be on guard, why is it that we seem to think that has nothing to do with us? It has everything to do with us. The error of the wicked speaks of the damnable heresies that deny the deity of Jesus Christ, that deny the Godhead, that deny the damnable heresy that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the God-man. The damnable heresy that denies the gospel of the grace of God, that it's a message that we are not saved by our works, but that our salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, His obedience on our behalf. Praise God for that. When you hear the word beware, what do you think of? Watch out. That's good. Watch out. Let's just say, don't go there. Okay, that's good. I mean, we could do this for as long as the spaghetti's cooking downstairs. You're walking down the street, summertime, and you see a sign. Beware of the dog. What do you do, beloved? If you have an ounce of common sense, you read the sign and you stop and walk the other way. You don't just continue tempting that Doberman pincher that wants you for lunch is not going to come out and bite you. When you hear the words beware, when you hear the word watch, it should awaken in you and me the awareness. Oh, hey, today may be the day. Today may be the day. You see, you and I, here's the thing. You and I in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 or verse 2, it says there's a time to be born, there's a time to die. We didn't choose when we came into this world, and we do not choose when we leave this world. And that drives you and I crazy because we want to think we are in control. We're not. He is. So when God tells you and I, beware, take heed. In Acts chapter 13, verse 40, we read, beware. That was for your benefit. Just beware, therefore, and my benefit as well, lest they come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare unto you. So when you're preaching the gospel that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, there's no other way, there's no other hope. It's only through Christ that we can be forgiven. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He's alive. He is our salvation. He is our redemption. He is our righteousness. He is our holiness. It's all Him. And people go, oh, no, no, you got to do something. Ask a Mormon. So all you have to do is repent and believe in Jesus Christ? Yes, yes, because He does all the work for us. By one man's obedience, many are made righteous who place faith in Him. The original reference in Habakkuk was to the destruction of the temple by the Chaldeans, a thing which the Jews would never believe could happen. The prophet says, the temple's going to be destroyed. The temple's going to be destroyed. Ah, it's not going to happen. They were warned, and it did happen. Likewise, it is true that in spite of the warning of the command to repent and believe the gospel, and how many of you know that when you come to Christ, your whole life is a life of repentance? Your whole life is a life of changing. There's no such thing as sinless perfection in this world. No such thing at all. The Bible doesn't teach that. In fact, the Puritans used to say that the longer that you walk with the Lord, you find yourself repenting more, but sinning less. Don't you get convicted when you just look at something you ought not to be looking at? When you're thinking something that you ought not to be thinking? You see, that's the work of the law to show us that we can't be forgiven apart from Christ. We're sinners by nature, sinners by choice. And the gospel is the good news that if you will repent and believe in Christ, but again today, multitudes are averting the warning. People are mocking. People are disregarding the call of the gospel and simply carrying on with their lives as usual. Albert Camus wrote once, "A universe without God gives us only the conscious certainty of death without hope." The only explanation for the universe is in the beginning, God. And before the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God was slain. For sinners. The whole purpose of creation. There was a redemptive purpose. And the call goes out today to those who are not born again to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. Peter, oh man, the older I get, the more I love good old Pete. man. This guy put his foot in his mouth so many times. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Peter knew what it was like to fail, huh? Didn't he? It's pretty wicked when you deny the Lord before men. Didn't Jesus say that? Did Peter do that? Three times, right? And what happened after Jesus rose again from the dead and Peter says to his friends, let's go fishing. You know, they were the worst fishermen in the world. Every time you find these guys fishing, they never caught anything until Jesus showed up. And so Peter is there and Jesus says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? He says, yeah, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. You know what Jesus wanted to know? He knew Peter. He knew that the enemy wanted to sift him like wheat. He says, but I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. Not that you wouldn't fail. You know, he says, Peter, I just want to know, and I want to hear from your own mouth that you love me. Because that's the most important characteristic in anyone that is going to be leading people of God, that they have a love for Christ and a love for souls. He says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 13, verse 9, be not carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Paul, writing to his protege, Timothy, whom he begat in the gospel, in 2 Timothy, verse 1, he says, thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Are you strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus this morning? Strong in the grace of God? Dearly beloved, my prayer for you and I as a church family is that we individually and corporately will continue to grow in the grace, love, and heart knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is only because of the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ that you and I and everybody else in this room and watching online are not going to get what we deserve on the day of judgment. The wages of our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But grow in grace. How many of you want to grow in grace? So, since I have the microphone, let me give you a little help. Well, let me ask you this. How many people close to you would say that you are a very gracious person? I don't want to stir up any hornet's nests here. Husbands, wives, parents, children, your siblings. Oh, yeah. Why do I say that? You know, because you know one of the ways that we grow in grace? When we first of all acknowledge that we are what we are by the grace of God, and when we make a deliberate choice to be conduits through whom the grace of God is sown. Are you gracious towards others? Gracious in how you talk? Gracious in how you think about them? You know, you reap what you sow. And when you and I sow seeds of grace, God will see to it that the grace comes back. Some people feel so bad for them. They don't sow grace. They're grouchy. They're judgmental. They're irritable. And they wonder why their whole life is filled with people that are grouchy. Well, that's just the way it is. Sow grace. Think grace. Speak grace. Grace, and God will see to it, good measured, pressed down, be brought back to you. Try it. Try it. Try to outgrace your spouse. Have a grace war. And you know another way we grow in grace? Share what the Lord is doing in your life with others in the body of Christ. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, share what He's doing, because we know that God is working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, don't we? That's what the Bible says. You see, He hears our prayers. He's taken our prayers individually and collectively. He goes, okay, this is what is going on right now. Share what the Lord is doing in your life. And look for any opportunity, whether it be a grocery store, a department store, praise God, a baseball diamond pretty soon, to share the gospel with the people. You know, Christianity is not a religion. It's not an ism. Mormonism is a religion. Protestantism is a religion. Catholicism is a religion. Hinduism is a religion. Islam is a religion. Christianity is a relationship. It's a relationship. Jesus said, and this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. When he wrote his first letter, he says, these things have I written unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with his Son, is with the Father, and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. How many know the difference between joy and happiness? Happiness can change. Your team, there it is. There it is. The kicker kicks the ball through the uprights. Yes! Finally, they win. And then there's a yellow flag. Move back 5 yards. Kick again. Boom! Off to the left. Oh, my team lost. That's happiness. That's this life. Just how everything in this life is subject to change. The only thing that is consistent and eternal is God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means that you and I can have joy. We can have peace even in our darkest moments because He's there with us. How many of you know that there is no such thing as a coincidence in God's kingdom? Not once in the few years that I've read the Bible have I found the word oops. Have you? Not once do I see God changing his mind. Coincidentally, one of my devotional writers that I really, really am so blessed by and challenged by is Robert Murray McShane. And today, by coincidence, he writes, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Dear believers, be ready to leave your room for the golden harp at a minute's warning. Be ready to leave your desk for the throne of Jesus, your pen for the palm of victory. Be ready to leave the market below for the street of the New Jerusalem, where the redeemed shall walk. If you were a sinking ship, you would not cling hard to bags of money. You would sit loose to wall and be ready to swim. This world is a sinking ship, and those who grasp at its possessions will sink with it. Oh, buy as though you possessed not. The time is short." Amen. Me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Bless the Lord, oh
my soul, bless his holy name. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question?
Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.